And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Hey, send us an email. Let us know what you think of the program. CapitalCityRecap@gmail.com. That is our email address. Well, federal prosecutors say 9 car dealerships in Michigan, including one right here in Lansing, were laundering money for a terrorist organization. It's a complex set of exchanges that led to money being funneled to Hezbollah in Lebanon, the group behind the bomb attacks against the U.S. Embassy and Marine Barracks in Lebanon in 1983 and 1984. To talk about the details of the case, I'm joined by Detroit Free Press reporter Niraj Wariku, who recently wrote about it. Welcome to the program, Niraj.
Thanks for having me on the show. Great to be here.
So, Niraj, how exactly do the feds say these 9 Michigan dealerships, apparently part of 30 dealerships across the country, funnel $480 million to this group?
Yes, it's a pretty complicated effort that was going on that was funding Hezbollah. It's up to $500 million we're talking about, so it wasn't just a small-time operation. According to the 66-page complaint, what happened was you had institutions in Lebanon that were tied to Hezbollah that were paying car dealerships, including 8 in Metro Detroit and Lansing, for used cars. And the cars would then be shipped to Africa, and then in Africa they would go to Lebanon or to other places, and the proceeds from those sales were essentially laundered and then used to fund Hezbollah. One of the 9 companies in Michigan, 8 of them were car dealerships, and one of them was a transport company known as Cybom or WIS, that's based in Redford Township. Now, this transportation or shipping company in Redford Township was the one that shipped a lot of the cars from America to Africa and to other places. And the feds say that the head of this Redford company is an operative for Hezbollah.
And in terms of the dealerships themselves, are they being accused of knowing where the cars were going and what the money was going to be used for?
Well, the complaint stops short of saying whether the car dealerships were aware. I spoke with a U.S. official off the record, and she told me that they're not saying that they were aware of them. So maybe in the case, they may have been unwitting suspects, right, that they get a guy saying, hey, look, we're going to pay you money for this car. You know, they're not going to say no to a deal, and they said, sure. But on the other hand, who knows? Maybe they did know, but they couldn't prove it. It's hard to say. But we do know that the indictment does not say that they were necessarily aware of what was going on.
These cars were then being shipped from Michigan to West Africa?
Exactly. The countries like Togo and to Benin. There happens to be a substantial Lebanese population there in West Africa. Obviously, the majority of them are not involved in this, but that's where the businesses there that were controlled by, some of them controlled by this guy who headed the Redford company, would then sell those cars and use those proceeds, that some of which ended up in Lebanon financing Hezbollah. I believe they were saying that there were about $100 million a year allegedly were going to Hezbollah as a result of this operation.
Well, it was ongoing for a while. How did the feds stumble onto this operation?
Well, Hezbollah has been on the radar screen of the U.S. government for a while now, especially even in Michigan. There's been an indefinite increase in the number of cases that are filed against Hezbollah, and whether it's money laundering or more serious claims of funding the group directly. So it's been on their radar screen for a while. The Treasury Department has been quite active. In January, almost a year ago, the Treasury Department said that one of the companies involved in this was helping support Hezbollah. Then in February, the Treasury Department also said that a bank in Lebanon was part of this operation, but they hadn't built the case yet. And that's what we saw in December then, where they unveiled this 66-page complaint. So this complaint is kind of the result of years of keeping a tabs on how their operations work.
In terms of the dealership, are they all owned by different owners? Are they owned by just a handful of them?
You know, that's unclear. Some of them are separately owned, and that the transportation company was separate. The guy that they say is a Hezbollah operative, the one in Redford, but he apparently helped these companies ship those cars. But it's unclear if those car dealerships knew that this Redford guy was a Hezbollah operative, or they just saw him as a shipping company that they used to transport their cars to Africa.
And what are these folks in for? Is there going to be prison time for this apparent Hezbollah operative or for the owners of the dealerships?
Well, technically the case is not a criminal case. It's actually a civil case. It's more like a lawsuit that the U.S. government files. Essentially, it's to seize their assets. So their assets have been effectively frozen. There not have been any arrests made. They didn't, like, arrest any of the men involved. They did freeze their assets, which effectively will shut them down, at least temporarily. So I don't believe there's going to be any... There is charges, though, or a concern about this Osama Salhab guy, the guy who owns the Redford Township Company. The thing is, he's in Africa now. What happened was, in 2009, the head of that Redford Company tried to come to America, but at the airport he was stopped by federal agents, and they found images of Hezbollah operations on his laptop computer. One of them was an image of the Hezbollah's head, Hassan Nasrallah, audio of Hezbollah's national anthem, images of Hezbollah militants stomping on an Israeli flag. And so after they saw that, they sent him back to Africa. Now, what's interesting is that they did not arrest him then. You would think that, you know, maybe they should have arrested him, but I think it's safe to say they didn't have enough evidence at the time they were building the case. So, and I don't believe that, I don't know if that African country has an extradition treaty, so it may be hard to arrest them, but at the very least, they are trying to get their assets and get them frozen.
Have there been any other cases involving the Detroit area in terms of money being funneled to Hezbollah in other ways?
Oh, yeah, there was a big case a few years back. You know, you may remember in Metro Detroit, there's this chain of restaurants called Lashish. It's a popular Arab restaurant. The head of that guy was a name named Talal Shaheen. According to the U.S. government, he was essentially cheating the government of taxes, tax fraud. But they also said that he was tight with Saeed Fadlallah, who's the head of a charity that the U.S. government says is tied to Hezbollah. So there was concern that some of that money that he was not paying taxes on was indirectly going to Hezbollah. Now, he left the country, and he's still a fugitive, living in Lebanon. I don't know where he's at now, but I remember when I last spoke with him, he was in Lebanon, but he never came back. So that was a big Hezbollah case. And after that, Lashish restaurants essentially folded and no longer exists, at least under the current owner. I think they're trying to come back now with a different owner. But
in the Lebanese community, I think it's a fairly substantial one in the Detroit area. Is there a response from the community to these kinds of cases?
Yeah, it's very interesting because there is a huge Lebanese community in places like Dearborn and Metro Detroit. There's obviously a large Lebanese Christian community. There's different groups within the Lebanese community, Christian, Sunni, Shia. You know, Hezbollah is a Lebanese Shia group. And in Metro Detroit, it's kind of interesting because there is at least moral support for the group among some parts of the Lebanese Shia community because they see them as a group that sort of defended their interests. But, of course, the U.S. government does classify them as a terrorist group. And the U.S. government says they were behind the 1983-1984 attacks against the U.S. embassy and Marine barracks in Lebanon. So the U.S. government, you know, takes this very seriously. Mm-hmm. But in places like Metro Detroit, you have this kind of community, some of which do express support for the group. I'm not saying they're necessarily giving them, you know, weapons or money, but at least morally they support them.
Detroit Free Press reporter Niraj Wariku, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me on your show. Great to be here.
Interesting story.